Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Genesis, the Rift podcast for the masses. Today is April 25th, 2011, and the recording time is 9:30 p.m. I'm Rizu, aka Ryan.
I'm Nika, aka General.
And I'm Q with my new in-game name, Quibble, aka Arthur. And, well, it seems like we're going to kick off today talking about all the updates that came to our favorite game. As you know, there's 2 hot fixes and 1 big patch that's coming up soon. So we're gonna, well, kick off with that. And Ryan, if you could take it away with hotfix 19.
Alright, so Tryon has added yet another barrage of hot fixes and tantalizing information about patch 1.2. In hotfix 19, they kicked off the delivery of compensation packages for the world event. World event merchants still available for a short time. Characters are now required to be level 50 to enter the River of Souls raid zone. Shade-touched weapon caches have been renamed so players can tell which cache awards what level of items. Swift Spectral Horse from River of Souls raid has been renamed to Swift Soulbound Charger. Same thing for the rare version of that same mount. Dueling works again. Fixing loot windows from accidentally closing, causing you to lose out on items. Corrected a bad typo in 1 display of the Riftblade soul name.
A4 typos.
Resolved an issue where distorted shadows for Capitalist and shards of Light Sentinel could be exploited. These abilities should once again be available for use. Lingering wounds on the champion soul. Fixed a bug causing this ability to stop applying. For Greenscale's Blight Raid, Prince Hylas should now reliably drop a full 4 pieces of loot. River of Souls event currencies and quest item drops will no longer appear. And due to outcry from the Talara Society for the prevention of cruelty to animals, Spectral Horses can no longer be rune broken.
And then our next hotfix that was released just a few days ago, hotfix 20. General, if you want to talk about that.
Well, of course, River of Souls starts it off. River of Souls quests that have been completed may be turned into Brilana and Meridian crafting area and Brindal and Sanctum. Quest items for Tools of Destruction and Exercising Evil will continue to drop for any players with the active quests. Otherworldly Source Stones will no longer drop from Death Invaders or Colossi. For the general part of these patches, its major zone events should fire more often, and the mythical purple zone event currency should rain from the sky. Okay, maybe not rain, but they'll be more common than they have been recently. That's what they say in the patches. Gotta love Tryon for the way they say this stuff. Scarwood Reach, sealing the portal. The portal at the back of the Sage Spire should be much more active now. That's it pretty much for Hotfix 20. Arthur, you want to talk about 1.2?
Yes. So after Tryon pushed out the first major content update about a month after Rift's release, we're soon to see our next major update, 1.2, which is expected to be around May 4th, actually on the day of May 4th, hopefully. And it's already hit the alpha test servers, and seems to be going pretty well. But as like the first one, 1.1, we're going to see a hell of a lot of new things. Like wardrobe slots are introduced for you to like customize your character's look and additional clothing items and whatnot. So you're just not limited to, do I want my character to have blue skin, orange hair and whatnot? You can actually choose your clothes, which will be kind of nice. And let's see. So Talara's universe is now composed of like Midrid planes and realities that intersect with each other, while a sliver is in place with a thin slice of another reality that could be seen intersecting with Talara. The planar goods merchants are in Meridian and Sanctum, now sell the ascended powers to Vigus Silvers, there we go, I could talk. Which allow you to see things others might not be able to see, and potentially lead to the discovery of an entrance in Gilded Sanctum, a raid instance attended for 10 players. Let's see. So, The patch will also include the Looking for Group tool, which kind of enables players to group with other players more easily when raiding dungeons and doing world quests and things like that thing. Which is the LFG tool will allow players just to sign up for one of four roles, like the roles that we all know, MMO, or like any other MMOs, tank, healer, support, and DPS. You may now also purchase the fifth role at your calling trainer. And that is pretty much the gist of it. There actually seems to be it what we have right now, and fail. That's kind of funny. Anyways, does anyone else have anything to say about the update, what they're looking forward to, maybe changing your clothes?
Well, we'll go ahead and bring that up a bit later. Right now, we're going to go ahead and move on to our week, This Week in Rift. So why don't we go ahead and start with you, Arthur. Any new updates happening with you in Rift this week?
Yes. As you all know, last Thursday I really kicked off in Rift, but I haven't really started it till this past weekend, and Ryan has been helping me a lot. But I chose my character, which I could not remember the name of the race, but I know it's the Avatar-looking character. And I like my clothes, and I'm already level 5, so I think I'm doing somewhat good, hopefully.
He's definitely kicking off into the tutorial zone once we showed him how to move and that sort of thing.
And taught him how to spin in circles when he's attacking things.
That was pretty entertaining. Remember, you should always spin in circles while attacking monsters. So this week in Rift has been extremely stupid for me. Earlier last week, I came down with a bad case of bronchitis. Just finally got to the doctor today. I officially have it. I'm on steroids and antibiotics, and it's nasty. But I did kick up to level 30, which is absolutely excellent. Catching up a bit, I've leveled up 2 or 3 levels. Which, for being sick and doing other stuff, I don't think that's too bad.
Ryan, you better watch out. I'm catching up. Quit.
Yeah.
Right. Taking you a whole day to get to level 5.
How about you, General? What's going on with you?
Well, so far I hit level 34. Enjoying the many pleasures of Scarlet Gorge. I've gotten killed over and over and over and over again in Whitefall Steps. Pretty much that's it for me.
Alright, so we figured with this episode we'd go ahead and kind of dedicate it to patch 1.2. It's amazing that it's already being brought out with this soon after 1.1, which was the River of Souls event. They're actually bringing out a whole nother content patch. And one of the biggest improvements with the update is the addition of the Looking for Group tool. This was something everyone wanted, Hartsman said, but the team refused to rush it out the door in poor shape. It does what you would probably expect. Players can queue up for an instance by role. The system recognizes which builds you have and offers options for tank, healer, support, and DPS, and then wait as the tool assembles the group for a cooperative adventure. Once a group is formed, the system then throws them into the maelstrom automatically. The Looking for Group tool isn't just for dungeons either. It's designed to help players get together for world quest content like epic or arena quests. The LFG tool will come in handy in conjunction with 1.2's improved daily dungeon system. Tryon's tweaking the daily dungeon quests so that you can either do one per day or let them pile up so you can knock out a bunch at once. Hartsman said that this caters to the weekend warriors who want all of the special rewards of daily dungeons but can only make time for them once a week. The game will store up to 7 daily dungeon quests for you at a time. Is Tryon adding too much too soon, or are they pulling it off?
Well, I personally think I think it's all necessary stuff. It's all the things that they're missing that'll make this game really good. I love the fact that they're adding some stuff. It's adding some new twists to it, like the Sliver faction. Where is that at? The Slivers, where you can pretty much go into the other zones and kill further into the rifts and stuff once you hit level 50. I think that's awesome that they're adding yet another in-game content item. I love the fact that you'll have the appearance thing. The appearance bar now. Wow. Can't talk tonight. The appearance bar now, because I hate changing my looks every two levels. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. What about you, Arthur?
Anything that excites you, Arthur?
Apparently we've lost Arthur.
Wow, this night is turning out great. People can't
Oh my
talk.
Goodness, I accidentally tilted up my mic. Crap. Okay, I'm back.
Do I edit this out or leave it in?
Here, we're going to edit it. 3, 2...
No, we're not editing it. Just go.
Well, flip, I already started talking.
Too bad, just talk.
Welcome to the world of teenage podcasting, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does excite me. I think it's epic. I mean, to see... I mean, they're releasing the big patch, and I'm honestly looking forward to the Imperial thing, because I did complain about my raggedy clothes, if you remember that, when I first started, Ryan. But this whole tool that allows people to explore dungeons easier and assign specific roles and provide suggestions on how you can go about that role and things like that, I think that will honestly help with people continuing on the game. Because if I remember, honestly, I'm not that far in Rift, but in World of Warcraft, the only way to really progress after you leveled up was dungeons. And dungeons kind of got boring because it was random and no one really... It was hard to get the specific roles and the people to actually apply themselves in the roles. And to have this system in place to tell you what to do and how to do it and how you can succeed. Well, that's cool.
Agreed. So I know General had mentioned something called the sliver function. So for those who don't know, the sliver function is basically going to be like your rifts, where if you find one out in the wild, you can go ahead and use something similar to the planar lure ability, and you will literally enter into a portion of the plane that that particular sliver is from. So you will enter into the plane of death or the plane of life, and it's like rifts on steroids. What do you guys think about that? Do you think it's going to complicate the game? Do you think it's going to add a whole new level to it? Do you think it's bad? Do you think it's good?
Okay, well, I recently read a negative view on Rift on MMORPG.com, and the guy said that Rifts were just kind of lame, boring, and repetitive, you know, which I don't personally think they are yet, but I think once you hit 50, once you play them all, once you continuously play them, I could see how they could kind of get boring. So the fact that they're adding yet another in-game content, another way you can branch off into in-game content, is awesome.
Agreed. What do you think about it, Arthur?
Well, I'm not really sure yet, because like I said, I've only been playing it for a few days. I mean, if a developer of a game can provide its users another way to basically expand on, for a user to not get bored, to, well, keep on spending their money, that's more power to them. I mean, I'm
very much.
I condone Tryon for basically keeping up with their game and doing expansions, many expansions, things to that extent, just to keep the users entertained.
I've got a question for you guys. So since they're coming out with all these exciting events, the world event, they're coming out with all these new updates and patches, do you think they're going to peter out later on? Do you think they're going to lack in putting out content, or do you think it'll be a continuous thing throughout their existence?
I think with the way they've really kicked into this, you know, they've 1 month out, they had their first major world event and pulled out another the second raid of the game, which, you know, is actually kind of saying something. Most raids that are added in MMOs are added with launch. They were able to roll this out, which, granted, it wasn't the smoothest roll, but it still got out there. It was a really big achievement. It showed that they have the ability to do what they wanted to do. It wasn't quite as smooth as they wanted it to be, but they realized that they sent out those reward packages with plenty of otherworldly source stone and weapons and a chance at some really nice items, that sort of thing, which was absolutely wonderful. And then now they're already pushing out notes and patch 1.2 on their public test realm. So, I mean, it's really impressive. And right now, Captain, one of our live listeners, is actually asking, did they ever give a release date for 1.2? No, they have not yet, but it is...
Actually,
they did?
The tentative date, I mean, obviously it still is an option to change it at any point, obviously, if they have problems. But right now, the date that I've seen, not only from devs saying, but on forums and stuff like that, is May 4th.
Well, that's actually pretty impressive.
So, it's May... I said that at the beginning before, that the release date was May 4th.
I have an excuse. I have bronchitis, and I'm doped up on steroids and antibiotics.
Ryan, drugs are bad for you.
Yeah. Okay. So just going down the patch note list, some other stuff. One thing that I really, 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 really like is those who manage to sneak behind enemy lines and complete the introductory artifact collections inside Meridium or Sanctum now have special rewards coming their way. So for those who don't know, on both sides of the both factions, there's a just basic quest you get after you hit your main city that just says, hey, this is how artifacts work. You collect two of them, you turn it in, you get your lucky coin, and it kind of takes you off into that. Well, some people apparently have been going back and into the opposing faction town and completing the artifact collection there. So I think this is pretty impressive, and it shows a lot of initiative on Tryon's part to go about and actually reward players for playing the game in a way they did not imagine. What do you guys think about it?
I think that's awesome. I mean, it's just another one of those content things. I mean, it gives everybody the initiative to go mess with the other faction a little bit. I mean, it gives you initiative to go socialize in the negative sense, kill some other players, you know, take a daring chance and go into their capital city. That's awesome. I like it.
Life is not life without risk and embarrassing yourself.
Agreed. Going down the list, there's some smaller changes. Markers for completed quests will now always appear on the main map, regardless of whether they are currently being tracked in quest stickies, which is a great tool. I know there's plenty of times where I forget to put a quest in my quest log, and it's not on the map, and I completely forget about it until I look back through my log again. For quests requiring you to kill level-appropriate targets, tooltips for mobs of too low level will no longer indicate that they will count for the quest. Here's a big one. Reduced auction house deposit prices by about 25%. So you're getting back 25% of the money that you used to have to spend to put up auctions on the auction house. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What else? Currency cap. Apparently, you can hit a currency cap, and they're now having a alert message pop up when you hit that.
Well, that's good. I mean, I don't know how many people who actually hit that currency cap, but I'm guessing at higher levels that's probably possible. At least we know when we're not gathering Planerai anymore and need to go spend it.
Yeah.
And to go along with the appearance tab, which we'll probably move on to that after this, they're also adding in clothier NPCs to Meridian and Sanctum. So now you guys can go up, actually into Meridian and buy separate clothing to go into your appearance tabs, which is pretty cool. So now I don't know, it's kind of a given. They're putting in this new feature, and now they're giving you a way to do it besides crafting abilities. But for those who don't understand, appearance tabs are a separate set of gear you could wear over your regular gear. So let's say I'm a warrior, and I have this really bulky shoulder pad stuff. I can switch it over to some other gear I like a little bit more, and it'll kick in right there.
And then,
yeah.
Well, it's nice. Making yourself look good. Like I said before, having just one particular unit doesn't really spark variety, and to be able to allow users to kind of customize themselves sparks individuality and allows people to kind of like form groups, clans, things to that extent. So yes, decorate yourself, gold armor.
Hey, it's my favorite part of MMORPG. If I don't look good, if I can't look good through the game, I really don't like it usually. I mean, I gotta look cool as I'm slaying things.
So, do you guys think it's necessary? Generally, you kind of answer the question, but just to expand on it, do you guys think it's necessary that MMO developers like Trion and Blizzard and BioWare in the future make it possible for you to actually have a character that appeals to you aesthetically, you know? I mean, is it important that you look the way you look, or does it matter? And why?
Definitely. I mean, the whole point of these MMO games is to roleplay. I mean, to be rather honest, that's the reason why we play these games, is kind of put ourselves into another person's shoes and play in a world that we can't touch in real life. And to be able to customize your own character allows the individual to make a character that he or she wants to put their shoes in and kind of play. And it honestly sparks individuality and they get more interest in the game and whatnot. So I don't think it's something that a company kind of should do like an update. I think it's a necessity for any of these MMO RPGs.
I agree with you, but I think there's one thing to be wary of. I mean, I don't know enough about what they're adding with this as they put it in, but I think it's necessary to still have a level on how well you can look, so that you can't like just go into the game and look all level 50-ish, you know? As long as they have it level accented, you know? I think
it'll be unlock right. Certain materials as you gain experience, that type of thing.
And just being devil's advocate, what about the people who are opposed to this sort of change, you know, that think by allowing players to change how they look regardless of what their gear is, do you think that gives people an unfair advantage in PvP?
Why? I mean, there's such a differential amount. I mean, even with just as far as I've gotten, I've seen that this robe looks like this robe, but they're not the same. And they don't look exactly the same, but they look enough that as you're PvPing, your glance isn't going to be able to determine those items.
Mm-hmm. Any rebuttal, Arthur?
I'm trying to figure out how. You said that. So from what I understand, PvP is where one player attacks another and they feud and whatnot. But how would like the appearance of your character?
Well, you have to realize that like in WoW and stuff, they had very, very specific looking armor sets and everything. So if you're going into PvP, you can look at their armor set and figure out how well geared they are. And being geared in these type of games is very important to how well you'll do against other characters.
So you're saying that like how someone looks, you should be able to gauge on how well they're equipped to fight you.
See, that's the argument. Some people would argue that you are capable of doing that. Others would argue that that shouldn't matter, and that's what we're trying to decide. Right now, for those who are watching the live stream, I'm actually going to go down into the PvP area and just take a look at some of the mage armor and stuff right now, and just to give an example of how much it changes. If you see these massive shoulder pieces and helmets and all sorts of things, you know, they're pretty obvious.
They're pretty obvious, but how obvious are they going to be when you're next to 10 other people that have just the exact same, but they have similar styles instead of the exact same thing?
Well,
maybe you might pick up the armor set that's from the PvP place, but someone might get something else, an armor set that looks the same from a dungeon or something that's not anything like the other one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that Trion has imposed a couple limitations. I think you still have to be within the same level range for those items that you choose to put into your appearance tabs. Only certain items can be put into appearance tabs. And most importantly, you can't wear a type of armor that you couldn't wear beforehand. So you won't have mages wearing plate armor, or wearing something that looks like plate armor, or vice versa. You won't have warriors wearing something that looks like cloth armor. Do you think that's a very valid point, or do you think players should be allowed to do what they want to do?
I don't think so. They made this armor specifically to look for a rogue, or specifically to look for a mage. It's that way for a reason. If you start making it able so that everybody can wear everything, I just think it kind of destroys the point of having armor class systems at all. Anyways.
Well, I think that there should be customization, but it's the type of thing where you can relate this to the... No, actually, I kind of can, but I'm not going to. I think there should be differentiation among classes and among races and whatnot, but like in clothes, I mean, we shouldn't have one wearing another, if I'm making any sense.
Oh, I think you're referring to we shouldn't have women wearing men's clothes and men wearing women's clothes?
No, not that. Like, what race wearing another race's wear?
So you're racist now.
Yes.
You heard it here, folks. Everyone commence the flaming. We will have Arthur's email up somewhere.
Ryan, I am racist against one particular race. It's zombies. I try to commit mass genocide of zombies on a daily basis. I serve my country.
And as we get slightly off topic, I'm going to go ahead and make this the advertisement time. For those who don't know, we have an email. Please send us emails. We will read them on the show. No one has done it yet. It makes us all sad pandas. If you want to reach us, please reach us at genesisrift@gmail.com. That is GENESISRIFT, all one word, at gmail, GMIAL.com. Please send us
C-O-M.
Your opinions. Your
GMIAL, huh? Is that how you spell Gmail?
Yeah, come on. Okay, anyways, send us an email. Tell us whether or not you love, hate the show, whether or not you want Arthur to have your babies, because that's apparently a common occurrence. Anything you want to tell us there. We will also be setting up a Twitter and Facebook page eventually. If you guys want to see that, you will find a news post on our website, which our website is genesisrift@podomatic.com. Podomatic is spelled PODOMATIC.com. Check us out there. We'll go ahead and throw up any news. You can get direct links to our podcast and download them from there.
Now, speaking of
So this is also important for those of us, for those of you who tuned in for the one day to try and download episode one or two. We did hit our bandwidth limit, and Podomatic was lovely enough to hook us up with a
British. I like it.
A British accented individual who told everyone about how wonderful our podcast is, and that we've unfortunately hit our bandwidth quota. And if you want to, you should head on over to our website and donate. So there is now a donation link on our website. It goes straight to PayPal. It is completely secure. You can use your PayPal account. None of your credit card information will go straight to us. It's just money. Donate $1, $5, $200, whatever you want. It only costs us about $10 a month to pay for the actual bandwidth for the server, but I would love to see us get a better website going, an actual .com name, all that sort of thing. I know General could probably use a new mic. Basically, any donations you give us will go straight to making this podcast better. So don't worry, we're not going to go buy a treadmill or something like that. It goes right to the podcast.
Ryan, if these people are going to have my babies, I would want to purchase like a plane ticket or two. So if you want to donate towards a plane ticket.
Yeah, and funding for the pregnancy would probably be good too.
Medical bills are expensive, folks. Hook us up with some cash and some alcohol for the father-to-be.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, says the kid who's completely against alcohol.
Anyways, to get back on topic at least a little bit.
Okay.
Last week we did a race-specific section. So I think we'll go ahead and do Rogue this week, if that's all right with you guys.
Gay for Rogue.
Good to me. I know nothing about Rogue, but this is your forte, so we're probably going to leave it up to you, General, and we will pop comments in as we go.
I'll provide the emotional support. Go, General, go.
This is why he makes wonderful mothers.
All right, so Rogues are wonderful. They're this, you know, from the dark, take them out from behind type class, but Luckily, Rift has added new aspects to the road, not only throwing in Ranger from other games to in the Soul system, but as well as an Explosive Expert and several other different things. It's quite amazing what they've done. They've even got a Tank Rogue that you can push out. It's not as effective as other tanks, but hey, it's still there. Personally, I played Nightblade with a Assassin backdrop. Two soul specification, and well, quite literally, I do so much DPS, it's drastic. I hit so hard when I have to. It's quite amazing what the rogue can do if it's played right, you know. You actually have to be able to think a little bit. You have to know where everything is around you, because even when you're stealth, you have the probability of them seeing you and, you know, attacking you, whatever. So you have to be smart enough not to get seen. That goes for both PvE and PvP. And then on top of that, you've got your Ranger classes or your long-range classes, such as the Saboteur, which is the bomb expert I was just talking about, and the Ranger, as well as the Nightblade even has some long-range attacks. It brings about another aspect that is completely different. You're sitting there, you're throwing arrows at them. You do it just right, you have the right classes, and you're able to teleport after you attack them so that you're away from any melee classes again. They also have a off heal for Rogue, which is the Bard. It's not very good, it doesn't do anything. It's more for buffing than it really is for healing, but it does have those healing rifts in there.
Now that I think about it, actually, isn't there a couple posts over on Rift Junkies detailing how bad the Bard soul is and how... try and can go about fixing it?
Yeah, Bard is actually pretty bad. I've only played it a little bit past the beginning of the game, or beginning of an area. It's not wonderful. I mean, it does have some good buffs, but that's about all it has. It has one or two good buffs throughout it. I seriously have to either point people in the direction if you want to play Rogue or something. I suggest you go Nightblade, Assassin. Assassin's always a good one to have if you're Rogue. But I personally like Nightblade and Blade Dancer. Those are my two other favorite ones. However, Rift Stalker, I do believe is the one, has the teleport skill. It pushes you 15 meters forward from where you are, and that doesn't break stealth or anything like that. And that's an amazing one to have. Even if it's just sitting there, you don't spend any points in it, it's amazing to have for that one skill right there.
Why don't you go ahead and give us a rundown of all the souls available to rogues? On top of what you've already
mentioned. Okay, well, you've got Nightblade, Ranger, which is you have your pet and you shoot bows and arrows, guns, whichever one you have your hands on at the time. Blade Dancer, which is a fluid kind of fighter with the swords. You know, their blades light up and stuff. It looks pretty cool during the actual combat. You've got the Assassin, which is more specified towards stealth attacks, poisons, and stuff like that. Rift Stalker is the tanking class. I haven't personally experienced it, but I've heard it's pretty good. It works really well. So they have a lot of armor buffs as well as attack power buffs. Marksman is another long-range one, obviously. Saboteur is the bomb one. I played this one originally. It was a lot of fun. You put markers on your guy, just like with every rogue. You put markers on, you hit another one, it does a giant explosion. It's a lot of fun. A lot of damage, but it's a build-up damage, so you don't do any damage for the first part of the fight, and then all of a sudden you do all your damage at once, and they're gone. Bard is the off-healer, as I've already mentioned. It's not very good. I really don't recommend using it at all. But yeah, that's pretty much rogue classes.
How do you feel about playing with them in PvP? Do you think they're overpowered, underpowered, just right? Is Goldilocks going to love them? That sort of thing.
Personally, so far, with PvP, I think a rogue can do a lot of damage, but you have to have the right soul setup. You have to be very smart with it. If you get caught with two or three people attacking you, you're gone. But if you're smart enough that you can pick off one person at a time, nobody focuses on you, you're going to destroy everybody. As long as you're attacking that one person. Rogue does not have very many AoE attacks at all. They do have them, but not very many at all. The best that I've seen so far for PvP with a Rogue And from what I understand from other people, because I've only messed with it a little bit, is long range. If you do a ranger or marksman or something like that, it's usually best. You're putting off the most damage. You're not getting hit as much. You're able to pick people off a little bit more. But you can't do nearly as much damage as the other ones. If you can sneak up behind someone, you can hit them with your prep attacks. You're going to knock their health down way fast. You're going to break the healing capabilities of several other classes.
What do you think it's a hard class to master in terms of PvP, PvE? Is it easy to pick up, that sort of thing?
I think it depends. PvE wise, it doesn't really matter as much what you do. I mean, it's usually just about perfecting your setup,
your DPS rotation,
skills you use. Yeah, your DPS rotation. It's about getting that in the right order. It's about getting, you know, figuring out how to stealth appropriately, all that stuff. If you can get that down, which it really doesn't take very hard, if you read the skills or you go and you get it from someone else, if you get those down, you're going to do just fine with the rogue.
Sounds good. I know, Arthur, your first character, you went ahead and made a rogue. Why
yep.
don't you tell us what soul you picked? I hope you remember.
No, I don't. I'm an open rift right now just so I can read it.
All right, well,
Blade Dancer.
He picked Blade Dancer. There we go. What do you think of playing a rogue right now? I know you kind of, it's very early on, you don't have very many skills, but what do you think about it so far, just as a brand new player who, let's just say the first 5 minutes were pretty interesting. What do you think?
I like the spawn. The spawn is really technical.
We're talking about the class, not the zone.
I mean, it is cool. So far, I've not had any troubles with, like, this whole thing. And there's evidently a move I have, and I can't remember what it's called, but I'm going to learn here in a second because I'm logging in right now. It's called a finisher move, and it does epic damage if I do it towards, like, the last third of killing someone.
Yeah, the build-up damage, what it does, essentially, is as you're hitting them with your original thing, it's going to give you a combo point, which pops up on the the HUD of your enemy that you have targeted. It'll pop up with a little square, and for each one of those squares, it increases the damage.
Called Deadly Strike.
Yep, each one of those skulls pops up, and it does more and more damage. If you get 5, you do the max amount of damage. It's a build-up skill, which is the vast amount of what Rogue does on anything.
Okay, and let's see. I'm going to tell you guys what both of my bajiggers are, souls. It's N, right? N's not doing anything.
It's N,
oh,
yes.
It's because I'm in chat. Guess what?
Yeah.
I have it twice already. Blade Dancer and Rift Stalker.
So he has our teleport ability, and he has Blade Dancer. Definitely sounds like you're enjoying it so far. I know when we played it last night with you, it was tons of fun. There was definitely a little bit of poking fun at you, but for the most part, it was a lot of fun. I was glad I went ahead and rolled an alt just to take you through the tutorial.
Note to the world, spinning in circles, that strategy does not mean literally rotating in circles.
Yeah, actually, that's something I'd like to specify on, because that is a really good thing for rogues to know that I'm not sure a lot of them know. As I'm sure you know, as you're playing your game, when you're a character, especially when you're PvPing, any of that stuff, anytime you're in combat, you have to be facing the other character that you're attacking. If you're not, you're going to be out of line of sight, whatever, it won't let you attack them. So think about it from that perspective. If you're a rogue, you're attacking something, you don't want to get hit, run in circles around them, make them turn, make them follow you, jump up and down, jump through them, jump over them, all that stuff, everything, so that they have to keep turning to cast these spells, they have to keep turning, they have to keep running after you to do everything. Move, be very active if you're a rogue. It's going to make a significant impact on everything you do.
It's worth pointing out, too, that this is going to have a bigger impact on your caster classes than it will your, well, not even your classes, your NPCs, than it will on your melee opponents, but players as well, it definitely throws up your opponents. I know one of the things that bugs me the most is when I'm trying to get a lock on somebody as a caster and they keep going behind me. You know, if I'm not facing them, I can't cast my spells. So General really does have a point. Make sure you are turning, not in place. In place is bad. Don't turn in place. But running around your opponent, jumping, that sort of thing, use the environment to your advantage. Definitely really good ability to be able to do with a rogue. I'm not sure if they have an in-combat stealth ability, but running behind a rock and stealthing sounds like the perfect plan to me if they can. So,
They don't actually, from what I've noticed so far, they don't have one where you can actually go from combat, even though you're in combat, and then stealth. But the big one that has made a major impact was that the wink spell, or the wink ability I was just telling you about, that jumps you forward 15 meters. It gets you far away from your enemy. It helps you run away, especially if you're a long range class. It keeps you far away from your enemy. That's definitely one to look into and invest in. That's with the Riftstalker class.
All right. If you had to sell Rogue to someone, what would you say Rogue is ideal for in terms of the player? What player should play a Rogue?
If you love the idea of the whole idea of ninjas, assassins, you know, taking the other individual out before they even see you, this is definitely the class. There's nothing more than a thrill to follow your character, your opponent around for a little bit, you know, watch what he's doing, mess with him a little bit, and then all of a sudden just hit him and he's dead.
Okay, just
that's
to tell you guys,
pretty much how it works.
Ryan can vouch for this. Every time I did something last night with my character, I said ninja. Because it is seriously ninja-like.
Yes, there was lots of uppercuts in ninjutsu. Let us stop now before there is any Naruto references, because I know you want to, Arthur.
Naruto reference right there. You broke it, Ryan.
I know.
I need to get a pet dog. I was talking the other day I want a pet tiger, but now I want a pet dog. Akamaru.
No, okay. This is not a Naruto podcast. Okay. We're good. Okay. No one heard anything. Now.
By the way, I lost the game, guys.
Did you really just say that? As you can tell...
He told me he was going to.
As you can tell, we're kind of getting there. Tonight's been a little bit slow.
We're going to head on to the last... I guess the next. I'm not entirely sure if it's the last.
I have one other one I'm going to have us do before we move on to your lore. I thought it would be pretty cool to do a Q&A session with the actual in-game populace right now. I do know we have the one person who actually joined us in live stream today, and I went ahead and messaged her and told her that I would love to do a couple Q&A questions with her. So we'll go ahead, and I hope it's a her. If it's a dude, I apologize. But I'm going to go ahead and whisper and tell her we're ready and see if she wants to ask us any questions.
Meanwhile, what do you think of your experience so far with Rift now that you've actually gotten into it, Arthur?
It's epic. I'm having fun with the whole social aspect. And something I should tell you, and I wanted to bring this up, is when I first joined the game, while I was waiting almost 20 minutes for Ryan to pop on, a lot of people were very social and offered to help and gave me some direction and whatnot. So I condone you, World of Rift, for actually not being douches and helping the noobs.
I that's actually a very good point to bring up. The actual social atmosphere that the Rifts and everything bring in, the fact that you have public party, that you have to work together, I love that part about Rift. Anyways, what else should we talk about while we're waiting?
Okay, well, actually, I've just got our first question. Captain asks, what about 1.2 might concern you guys?
I'm really worried that they're doing it too quick. I really am. I love the fact that they are, but I'm kind of scared that they're gonna be doing too much, and then later it's going to peter out, and everybody's going to be expecting more and more content, keep up their role as playing through it, I mean, as putting more stuff out there, and they're not going to be able to do it, and we're going to be left at a stalemate.
Okay, this actually, when I was reading about one of the articles, speaking of what you were just saying, how they're going to release all this stuff, and then people are going to demand more later down the road, and they're going to get burned out. There's probably a game that a lot of you are aware of, because iPods are, well, pretty dang popular. The game's called Pocket God, and at the very beginning, the developers of this game promised an update a week, and that this game will be popular, and that we'll stay really, really active in this game. 3 months later, after constant update after update after update, they missed a week, and the week that they missed, everyone started raging, everyone abandoned the game. It was this interesting fiasco, and you could probably search the internet. Heck, it even made it on some news sites. Because it was the number one game. And after that, the game pretty much died. Now there's only an update once every 2 months. It's no longer popular. Hasn't been making the money that it should have. And even though that was an iPod game and this is a computer game, I do have the fear that if they keep this up, releasing update after update after update, expansion after expansion, that they're going to kind of burn themselves out. Because they're a little bit of a small company. They're not as big as their competitors.
Okay.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I think they have the complete potential to continue doing as well as they do. I'm kind of worried about it, obviously. I just really hope they don't. I think they have the potential to carry on and keep doing cool stuff. I just hope they keep listening to the community as well as they have been lately.
You know, what's a kind of scary thing to think about? With all these huge content patches they've been doing, you know, what is the expansion going to be? What can they add that's really going to make this, that's going to be expansion worthy? Or are they just going to stick with the content patch system? But we also have one other question from Captain, and she wants to know, Q, will you have her babies?
Of course. Like I said, we need a plane ticket. So, you come fly out here, we'll accommodate you.
So it's official, Captain. If you get him a plane ticket, he will come out and let you pregnate him. We're good. Our next question.
It's the other way around.
No. Female. Arthur, females are the ones that get pregnant.
And then our last question that we got tonight comes from Aisha. She wants to know, why is my face so bitey? And she keeps saying she is supposed to be able to blink for some reason.
Bitey?
Bitey.
I don't even know what this means. What?
What is this? I don't even...
Just to tell you, God made you the way that you're supposed to be, so don't complain.
You have it here, folks. Q is the answer of your questions tonight. And we're going to move on to our last little bit. We have about... Oh, we've been on the air for close to 50 minutes, so it's not too bad. We're going to go ahead and do our Lore with Arthur segment again. We're going to be switching it up this week to a different story. Last story was kind of quick, definitely not the most professional, lots of laughing, and we apologize for that. So this week we're going to be turning off our mics except for Arthur. He's going to get into it. He's going to bring you the best lore possible. And it's going to be on a different story, so why don't you guys all just calm down?
Cool. Don't worry, we went through and we made sure he went through and picked out all the words he couldn't read and asked us about them. I think
like
he'll get that.
Like this word, T-H-E. Dang, that's
All right, so let's not goof around too much. We're kind of getting a little bit short on time. Arthur, as you know, please make sure we don't go too long. If it's just one page and it's not too bad, we can stick with that. Anyways, though, we're going to go ahead and mute it now, and then we'll kick back in when he's done. Well, me in general will mute our mics. Whenever you're ready, Arthur.
Cool. So we're going to do the first lore, because Drowning in the Snow has not released part two yet. Plus, you guys probably didn't really get the plot anyways. But here's the next part, or I guess the first story. It's called The Boar's Sphere, and we're going to do part one, which is entitled Can't Argue with a Second Chance. So, like I'm going to try before, I'm going to actually do the voices, and now that I don't have anyone laughing every 5 seconds, I think I'm going to be able to progress. Okay. Before the goblin could finish his prayer, my black arrow punched through his temple, pinning his head to the tree. Miniature skulls tumbled through his head dressed like apples. His fellow goblins paused their attack on the villagers and turned and dropped. I couldn't help but admire the shot myself. I whistled high and shrill, hoping to draw the goblins away from their prey. A russet-haired girl from Gloomwood Pines and her old grandfather, three gobs took the bait, beating the brush in search of the daring archer. I stepped from the hollow under the fallen tree and put an arrow in the back of each green neck. Any sensible goblins would have fled in terror, but then any sensible goblins would be the first sensible goblins anywhere. Ah, fancy sentence. The remaining three charged the family with a squawking cry. My arrow sailed an inch from the girl's head and put out the lead gob's eye, and I had no clear shot at the other two. Mo, I drawled. Out from the exploding brush rushed a black boar half the size of a horse. She trampled the first goblin without slowing, caught the second with her spiked ramp of face, and splattered him on a nearby oak. Good girl. Shutting my bow, I stepped toward the family. I'm an old man hobbled between me and the girl, flashing his gums. Stay away. What's wrong, Granddad? She said. Riftspawn, blasphemy, he called me. I'm the boar spear, back from the dead. So part two, part one. Well, the last part is true, Borsfeer, Hugo Waldmer. Actually, back from after almost a century, recovered a pesky touch of death. All those years ago, some stubborn woodcutter wouldn't pay another blast of coin to pass through my woods. I was explaining that once Mo got done crushing his fingers, he'd have never earned another coin again, when his wife, of all people, took his axe off the cottage wall. Funny, I remember saying, before the air whistled out of my lungs. Years passed, decades, but I was dead for those. The next thing I knew, I stood on a seamless marble road, stretching on for miles. Statues lined the road, the gods and their incarnations. I never had much time for worship in life. I didn't stop to admire the sculpture. Beyond the road and the statues laid an endless, empty void. Images swirled, purple and black. A gallery of all those unsavory things I've done before the woodsman wife got her bright idea. Doing those things, I have a grand time. Watching them make me uncomfortable, like a rock jangling around in the pit of my stomach. Join me, said a voice in my head that sounded like a million giant snakes sawing through the skin on the slimy rock. Join me and unmake the world. But I like the world, I thought at the voice. It bleeds when you squeeze it. Anyhow, that life ended with an axe on my back. So thanks, but no thanks. With a mind-bending shriek, the void seemed to reach for me. I'm going to scroll down. A crystal gate rose from the path and blew open. Golden light washed over everything. Warm and sweet as honey, one by one it sniffed out my old life's work. Every penny stolen. Bone broken, every arrow in the back. At last, I stood on the pure white path, surrounded by sunlight, and the statues of the gods smiled down, tilting their heads toward the gate, toward a second chance. All was forgiven, just like that. I stepped through the crystal arches. After all, you can't argue with second chances. Part 3 of Part 1. When I was a little boy, he was the terror of Gloomwood, said the cotter. Vigil helped us with the boar spear's rooting from the grave. Actually, I walked through crystal door. I patted Mo's shoulder as she matter of fakesly disemboweled the trampled goblin just to be through. The vigil sent me. Can and is, old father. Soon I'll collect. Oh, I missed a thing. My apologies. Ascend it, said the greaser. You, it can't be. Can and is, old father. Soon I collect my arrow. You could follow your glorious hero back to Gloomwood Pines, or stay here. I'm sure there are only goblins in the world. I'm sure you'll be safe. I reclaimed all the arrows but one. The goblin priest swung from the tree, a breeze rustling the black arrow's feathers. Wow. I hope you guys were able to understand this. The grammar is a little bit peculiar, I'm noticing. But if you guys want to unmute yourselves, I guess we're going to wrap this up.
Thank you for reading us that wonderful bit of lore, Arthur. It read off a lot better this time. There was not nearly as much laughing, went a lot quicker. Time's coming out good. It looks like we're going to end this off at about 55 minutes, maybe close to an hour. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening, especially Captain. I went ahead and said she could pick the title. She can't think of something, so you know what? We're probably just going to title this I Honestly Have No Idea. So, episode 3 is I Honestly Have No Idea. As always, remember to stick around after the show's music to hear our test sound. This week's also pretty entertaining. And thank you guys for listening tonight. As always, also please remember to send us an email, leave us a review on iTunes. We have only got one, and it's from Arthur's dad, so it does not count. bring us in some other reviews. We need them.
I need to learn to shut up during the test things, because it seems to bite me in the ass.
Anyways, check that out. Leave us some reviews. Send us an email. We'll hook you guys up with the Twitter and Facebook information soon. We'll probably get some blogs going for all three of us. And let us know what you guys think. Thank you guys very much for listening. This has been episode 3 of Genesis. Good night.
Or good morning. Or good afternoon. Or good something.
General. I think General's still muted. So, good night, guys.
Bye.
This is a test.
Candy?
You failed again. You failed again.